The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com: The Art of Looking Busy While Doing Nothing and How to Quit It. This article was written by Mira Nair on July 19th. We've all been there. You're sitting at your desk, drinking your overpriced matcha, and checking off items in your to-do list. Textbook pages are all highlighted. Painfully aesthetic planners are being organized. But still, there is that one item on the top of the list, all bold, all capital, but unfinished. Well, at least all the other tasks are finished, so today was a good day, right? Wrong. Productive procrastination is a method where people delay high-priority tasks in favor of easier, less critical activities. It's a way to still feel accomplished, even while avoiding daunting tasks. Although it feels good, it leads to the neglect of crucial tasks and can lead to stress, missed deadlines, and a feeling of being overwhelmed as important tasks are being left to the last minute. But here's the catch. It feels amazing. Productive procrastination has a way of giving a false sense of accomplishment. It gives the sense of, I'm doing great, without the discomfort of actually doing hard things. It's like eating a granola bar when you need a full meal. You're starving for real growth. Why does it happen? In order to stop productive procrastination, we first need to find out why it happens. One reason it happens is because we have a tendency to avoid negative emotions because the primary task may be boring or tedious, triggering a negative response. We cope by using productive procrastination because it gives us excuse to do a less boring task and it feels more enjoyable. Additionally, humans always seek dopamine, the feel-good chemical which comes from instant gratification. We get a dopamine hit by completing the second task quicker, then completing the primary, more important task. Other reasons could include poor time management skills, fear of failure from not doing the primary task perfectly, or the primary tasks feel overwhelming. But no matter what the cause is, the outcome is always the same: a pile of tedious tasks to do with very little time. Let's now jump into methods to fix it. Eliminate time-wasting activities. To stop productive procrastination, first eliminate every single task that looks like it's helping you, but actually isn't helping you. They don't always look like time wasters. That's what makes them so sneaky. I'm talking about those tasks that make you look productive, like organizing your desk for the seventh time, curating the perfect study playlist, or rewriting your entire planner for the third time this week. They may seem productive, but in reality, they're just faking it. To actually get things done, the first step is recognizing which of your habits are busy work designed to look like productive habits. Eliminating these activities doesn't mean working like a robot. It just means calling yourself out when you're stalling. Ask yourself before you start the task, is this actually helping me accomplish my goal, or just making me feel like I'm working? The habit of asking yourself this one question alone can really make a difference in your work and help save you time. Actually fixing it without losing your mind. So, how do you actually become the productivity guru that's always portrayed on social media without highlighted pages and aesthetic planners? Well, here are the real tips. Use a timer and just start. Set one for just 10 minutes. Chances are, once you actually start, it becomes way easier to continue with the task and actually finish it. Even if you don't end up finishing the entire task, at least you got some work done. Pick one important task each day. Doing one important task is so much more productive than doing 20 easy tasks that might feel productive, but are actually distracting you from making real progress. Reward real productivity, not fake work. Stop rewarding yourself for cleaning your room when you have a 5,000-word essay due tonight. Reward yourself for doing productive work, and you'll be more motivated to do productive work. Reward yourself for doing time-wasting work. You'll find yourself doing it a lot more often. Make a choice. Know why you're avoiding the big task. Maybe it's because you're afraid of not doing it perfectly. You might be overwhelmed by how big the task seems now. Once you can identify the root cause, everything pieces together. Break the big task down. One of the most common reasons people productive procrastinate is because the big task feels too overwhelming. Personally, this is something I struggle with a lot. When I break the pieces down, I find it a lot easier to focus, and you get the dopamine hit of finishing a big piece of the task, which is why most people productive procrastinate in the first place. Final thoughts. Productive procrastination doesn't have to hold you back from achieving your goals. It's time to stop playing busy and actually start working towards your goals. So, next time you catch yourself cleaning your desk instead of working on your project, call yourself out and go back to what you actually need to be doing. Future you will thank you. Come to think of it, I should really get going to that essay. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, Why Your Morning Routine is Sabotaging Your Mental Health. This article was written by Anish Parakusam on July 26th. Picture this. You jolt awake to the blaring sound of your phone's alarm, set to 6 in the morning. Reaching to turn it off, and out of practice, you begin to endlessly scroll through reels, only to find yourself minutes away from missing your bus. Without much time, you brush your teeth, or rather, rinse your mouth with toothpaste, grab your bag, and unknowingly set yourself up for brain fog and fatigue during your last few classes before your semester exams. Sounds scary, doesn't it? Here are three common morning habits that could be sabotaging your well-being and what you can do instead. 1. Scrolling reels before you even get out of bed. Let's rewind a bit back to when you were knee-deep in a flood of hyper-edited reels, gym vlogs, morning routines, breakup stories, trending music, and the lives of influential people who seem to figure everything out by the age of 18, while you're stuck with plummeting grades and a whole lot of envy. Without realizing it, you've just started your day comparing your own routine to someone's yoga and matcha session. Quite literally, it's a dopamine overload right before you're fully awake, and it leaves you questioning why you're not enough before you even get the chance to be who you are. Research from PubMed has shown that 576 teens found that higher social media use was significantly linked to poorer sleep quality and increased depression levels. The same depression can stick with you throughout the entire day when you scroll early in the morning. But don't worry. By stretching, playing music, journaling, or simply sitting with your own thoughts for 20 minutes without your phone can significantly reduce anxiety and improve your focus throughout the day. Think about it. Would you rather spend 20 minutes without your phone in the morning or be stuck with a pile of lecture material days before your exam, having no idea of why you've taken that class in the first place? Waking up at inconsistent times. We've all been there, staying up late and waking up at different hours every day, especially during the weekends. There's no doubt about it because it's common among teens, but frequent changes to sleep schedules can severely disrupt circadian rhythms. The effects again range from difficulty in concentrating, regulating emotions, and even sleeping well the next night. A study published in PubMed had proven that greater inconsistency in total sleep time was related with higher depression symptoms, and inconsistencies in wake-up times linked to similar symptoms. This goes to show how small fluctuations can drastically change the way teens express their emotions and moods. That's why you need to aim for a consistent wake-up time, even during the weekends. Your brain is like a song. Without a rhythm, the lyrics won't have meaning and engage the listener. By just waking up in the same 30-minute window every day, you'll find yourself with better energy, focus, and emotional balance. 3. Skipping personal hygiene. If you find yourself rolling out of bed without brushing your hair, washing your face, or putting on fresh clothes, it acts as a signal to your brain that you're not fully ready for the day. It causes a sense of sluggishness, and you won't feel like yourself for the rest of the day. Over time, this can cause low self-esteem and a sense of emotional dullness. Additionally, if you aren't cleaning yourself up and making yourself look presentable, you feel self-conscious and embarrassed in social settings, leading to isolation. Social exhaustion is an accelerant for already existing mental health issues such as stress and depression, particularly among adolescents. That's why you need to treat morning hygiene as an act of self-respect. Even if you don't have any plans to go out for the day, make yourself feel put together. Remind your brain that your day has begun and that you're worth taking care of. The bottom line. You don't need to flip your morning upside down to get yourself feeling fresh and to honor your mind and body. Just by beginning your day with presence instead of pressure, calm instead of chaos, you foster space for confidence, emotional strength, and clarity. In a world where everyone demands your attention, let your morning routine be the one that you give gently and fully to yourself. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Behind the ballot, Venezuela's fight for a fair election. This article was written by Mariana Castillo on July 27th. Imagine living in a country where your vote doesn't mean anything, where elections feel more like a performance than an actual democratic process. Welcome to Venezuela, where Nicolas Maduro and his government keep rewriting the rules and then breaking them. In August 2024, The Washington Post revealed something that, while not exactly shocking, still left many shaking their heads. The Maduro regime allegedly falsified electoral records to ensure control of the upcoming election. That meant, even before Venezuelans showed up to vote on July 28, 2024, the outcome already felt rigged. And that's not just concerning, it's exhausting. A country tired of being cheated. Venezuela wasn't always like this. Before the rise of Chavismo, the country had its ups and downs, like anywhere else. But there was at least a sense of democratic stability. That changed in 1999 when Hugo Chavez came to power, promising a Bolivarian revolution to uplift the poor. Initially, many viewed him as a bold new leader. But soon, both Chavez and his successor Nicolas Maduro turned that revolution into an authoritarian regime. Corruption, repression, censorship, hyperinflation, and the forced migration of over 7 million people. That's the legacy Venezuelans are living through. And while the world is focused on other conflicts, Venezuela remains trapped in a cycle of rigged elections and broken promises. The fight for real change. For years, the Venezuelan opposition has been divided. But recently, it gained momentum thanks to Maria Corina Machado, who won the opposition primaries with over 90% of the vote. Still, the government quickly blocked her from running by disqualifying her through a sketchy administrative move. It's like training for a race all year, only to be told the night before that you're not allowed to run. Edmundo González Urrutia, the candidate who stepped in after Machado's ban, became the new hope for millions. But with a system full of traps, fear tactics, and media manipulation, how can anyone compete fairly? A familiar ending. On July 28, 2024, Nicolas Maduro was declared the winner once again, extending his hold on power. To many, the results weren't a surprise. They were just confirmation of a system that no longer plays by democratic rules. The election didn't bring change. It brought déjà vu. Venezuelans hoped for a different outcome, one that could begin to heal years of crisis. Once again, however, the opportunity for real transformation was taken away by a government that refuses to let go of control. What now for Venezuela? Since the July election, the atmosphere in Venezuela remains tense. While Maduro continues to consolidate power, opposition leaders and citizens have been reporting increased surveillance, intimidation, and censorship. Many Venezuelans feel more disillusioned than ever, and international voices are calling out the election as neither free nor fair. Despite everything, the movement for change hasn't stopped. Protests and calls for international accountability continue, and opposition figures like Maria Corina Machado remain symbols of resistance. Venezuelan youth, both inside and outside the country, are raising their voices louder than ever, demanding that the world keeps watching and hoping that one day a real democracy can rise from the ashes of this one. Our next article from TeenVogue.com, Hunger Games star Josh Hutcherson addresses rumors that he'll return for Sunrise on the Reaping. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on August 4th. The Hunger Games Sunrise on the Reaping is rounding off its star-studded cast, and, of course, fans are wondering if familiar faces will be coming back for the long-anticipated prequel. Josh Hutcherson, who notably played Peeta Mellark in the original Hunger Games film franchise, in which he starred alongside Jennifer Lawrence, was asked about reprising his role and his potential return to the franchise in a new interview with Brit & Co., and said, "Yeah, no, that'd be cool, but I know nothing in that world right now." He added, "Hunger Games is amazing, and I've loved it for many years, and I will love it forever." Why do fans think Josh Hutcherson could return to the Hunger Games? Fans have been speculating about Josh Hutcherson and Jennifer Lawrence reprising their roles for the prequel for a while now, following a widespread unconfirmed rumor that the two stars, alongside Woody Harrelson, had signed on for a 2-day shoot for the film. ICYMI, The Hunger Games Sunrise on the Reaping, centers on the events of the 50th Hunger Games, where Haymitch Abernathy, the role originated by Woody Harrelson, emerged as victor. Newcomer Joseph Zada will take on the role of young Haymitch, and though Woody Harrelson has not been announced as part of the new movie, the actor did lend his voice to one of the early teaser videos for the project, making fans believe flashbacks and flash-forwards could be used as a storytelling mechanism in the upcoming project. Are Peeta and Katniss in Sunrise on the Reaping? If you are confused as to how the rumored reprisal of the roles would be, seeing as Sunrise on the Reaping takes place 24 years before the events of the first Hunger Games movie, the answer is simple. Epilogue. Suzanne Collins's prequel novel, which came out in March 2025, features an epilogue where Haymitch recounts the events of the 50th Hunger Games to Peeta and Katniss, which is how the three fan-favorite actors could return to the Hunger Games universe. Earlier this year, Hutcherson already said he would happily play Peeta again if the right chance arose. "I think Peeta's an incredible person to get to bring to life. I'm curious to know what happens between when they have their family and when the story ends, just to understand what happened in the world, how they got to that place. But I'm down. If you can talk to Suzanne Collins and tell her to write a book, I'm in. Sign me up." For now, we only have an epilogue, so we shall see if that suffices. Until we get any sort of confirmation from Lionsgate, however, Josh Hutcherson's reprisal of Peeta will remain a fan theory. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Wednesday star Hunter Doohan missed meeting Lady Gaga. It might be a hate crime. This article was written by Ashley Carter on August 9th. Hunter Doohan was just as excited about Lady Gaga's guest-starring appearance on Wednesday as any other fan. But to the actor's disappointment, he never got to meet the superstar. Netflix confirmed in November 2024 that Lady Gaga would make a cameo appearance at some point during Wednesday's second season, which stars Jenna Ortega. Part one of the beloved Addams Family spin-off series' second season was released on August 6th, while part two will come out on September 3rd, 2025. Lady Gaga has not yet made her on-screen debut for part one, and fans are eagerly awaiting her undisclosed character for part two. While much of Gaga's role is still being kept under wraps, she was confirmed to have been filming in Ireland. Production hasn't said who she filmed with outside of Ortega, but Doohan, who plays Tyler/Hyde, says he wasn't there for her scene or scenes. In a recent interview with the Just for Variety podcast with Mark Malkin, Doohan playfully spoke about his outrage over not being able to meet Lady Gaga. "I'm the one gay guy on the show, and I didn't get to meet Gaga," Doohan said. "It might be a hate crime." The two laughed as jokingly Doohan added, "This is BS." Lady Gaga's involvement in season two of the Netflix series came after fans of the show paired Ortega's iconic dance scene from season one with Gaga's song, Bloody Mary. The dance went viral on TikTok to a slowed-down version of the song and became such an organic promotion for the series that the streamer got Lady Gaga involved. The singer performed a melody of her songs at Netflix Tudum 2025, the live event, on May 31st, singing Zombie Boy, Bloody Mary, and Abracadabra. Hunter Doohan also attended the event, but it seems like he might have missed another opportunity to meet Lady Gaga. In March 2025, Gaga confirmed to Entertainment Weekly that she worked with Jenna Ortega for her scenes. "I don't want to give anything away about being part of the show. I want to keep it extra secret, but I love Jenna, and I really had an amazing time," she said. As for Doohan, while he may have missed his chance to meet Lady Gaga, his own character, Tyler Hyde, experiences a major turning point in season two, as the first part ends on a major cliffhanger. "There's so much more to come about the big mysteries of the season," Doohan continued. "Tyler has a crazy arc." We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.